Hi everyone, this is Daniel Cho from the Pathways to Wholeness Lifestyle Medicine Center in Toronto, Canada, and welcome to another episode of the Lifestyle is Medicine podcast. I'm here at our North York Lifestyle Medicine Clinic with Dr. George Cho, our medical director, and we're both very excited to dive into today's topic. Hello everyone. Now here's why I'm really looking forward to today's discussion. In our previous episode, we talked about blue zones, areas of the world with high numbers of centenarians. And we looked at some of the lifestyle patterns that define these communities and give them such longevity. These blue zones were Okinawa, Nicoya, Nicaragua, Ikaria, Greece, and Sardinia. But we left out one blue zone, and that's the one we'll be talking about today. We wanted to dedicate an entire episode to this one because this one is actually right here in North America. Now imagine with me, we're driving around the United States looking for this blue zone. And as we're driving around, what do you think we see? Probably we'll be seeing fast food restaurant after fast food restaurant. We'll probably be passing by many people, many of whom are carrying excess weight, and we know in all likelihood probably have some type of chronic disease like diabetes, obesity, heart disease, or they probably even have a family member with these diseases. We'll probably see children munching on junk food or sipping on soft drinks, and maybe we're even listening to the radio and we hear sobering statistics on cancer rates in the US. And we're probably thinking to ourselves, can North America really have some of the longest living people in the world? Well, in fact, we do, and that's what we're going to explore in this episode. So Dr. Cho, where is this North American blue zone?
Well, the North American Blue Zone is located in California, actually, in a city called Loma Linda. And the interesting thing about this Blue Zone is that the centenarians, so people who live to 100, aren't composed of an ethnic group, but rather Loma Linda has a large community, a large religious community known as Seventh-day Adventists. And this makes them quite unique from the other Blue Zones because the other Blue Zones were ethnic groups, right? So Dan Buettner visited the Okinawans, the Japanese, and then he visited the Greeks in Ikaria, the Sardinians in Italy, the Italians, and Nicaraguans. But this time in North America, he didn't discover an ethnic group. He discovered a religious community, the Seventh-day Adventists.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So can you share a little bit about Seventh-day Adventists? Who are these people?
For sure. Seventh-day Adventists are a global community of Christians. They have over 20 million members spread across all across the globe. In fact, the Seventh-day Adventist denomination is one of the most diverse and widespread Christian communities on the planet, actually. Mm. And like other Christians, they base their faith on the Bible and they emphasize doing good to their fellow man. Seventh-day Adventists have a wide global network of schools, universities, and medical facilities. And one of their main universities and hospitals is located in Loma Linda, California.
Yeah, and for our listeners, that's why there's such a large community of Seventh-day Adventists in Loma Linda.
That's right.
It's sort of like a university town. So, right. They set up these universities, like Loma Linda University, hospitals, and basically a community kind of just formed around in Loma Linda.
That's right. And what Dan Buettner found among the Seventh-day Adventists is that they have a very strong emphasis on living healthy lives. So he found that living healthy or healthy living was intertwined with their faith, and he connected this practice to their longevity and to the large number of centenarians in Loma Linda.
So yeah, that's really interesting. So let's talk about that for a moment. So why is it that Seventh-day Adventists put an emphasis on healthy living as part of their faith?
Yeah, like if you look at like the Bible Belt, they're some of the most obese areas,
right,
in America.
The Deep South.
Right, right. Yeah. But Seventh-day Adventists are an interesting group. They look at the human body as the temple of God. Okay. So that's a very interesting concept. So they believe that because our bodies is the temple of the Lord, that we have to steward our bodies, and so keeping ourselves healthy is part of that stewardship. And when we're healthy, they believe that you can better serve the Lord and better serve others as well. So this is kind of the reason why they believe that taking care of your bodies is so important. And they also believe in the interconnection between the physical, the spiritual, and the mental. Mm-hmm. Whereas other Christians, they believe in a kind of a dichotomy. Mm-hmm. But the Seventh-day Adventists, they believe that the different components of man, so physical, spiritual, mental, that these are actually one. Right? It's They're like intertwined.
Right, it's like an indivisible.
That's right.
Connected whole.
That's right. So that's why if you take care of your physical, then that will have an impact on your spiritual, right? So
interesting. So yeah. In our previous Blue Zone episode, we discussed different centenarians that Dan Buettner met. So who did he meet in Loma Linda?
Well, one of the centenarians that he mentions in his book is an individual named Ellsworth Wareham. And when Dan went to meet Mr. Wareham, Ellsworth was pounding a fence into the ground. Mm. And he was over 90 years old, making a fence all by himself with his hands.
Wow.
And then a few days later, he ended up in the operating room, but not as the patient. He was actually one of the doctors performing open heart surgery. Mm. He was a cardiothoracic surgeon who was doing surgery even into his 90s. And you know, Loma Linda has a good number of individuals like Ellsworth living in the community. And like Ellsworth, these Adventists live long lives, longer than most North Americans, and they're very sharp and very vibrant, even into the late 90s and into their hundreds.
So what is the lifespan of Seventh-day Adventists in California exactly?
Yeah, well, according to researchers, they report that male Adventists in California live about 7.28 years longer than their non-Adventist male counterparts. And for women, Adventist women live about 4.42 longer than their non-Adventist Californian counterparts. And in fact, there's one report where they say that California Adventists actually live longer than the Japanese. Mm. So a Japanese man may live up to about 81 years, but a California Adventist man may live up to 84 years. And a Japanese woman can live about 85 years. A Californian Adventist woman has a life expectancy of close to 87 years.
Wow.
You know, and just for perspective, they live about 5 years longer than the average Canadian man, and about 4 years longer than the Canadian woman.
And these are better years.
Yeah, for sure. Yes, yeah. And I think we'll discuss that later in the podcast. But yes, these are much better years. Many of them are living like Ellsworth Wareham, very sharp, even into old age.
Yeah, you know, that's really incredible. Can you imagine going into the OR and your surgeon is 90 years old?
Yeah.
I think that some of us might be a little concerned. But if he's still healthy, like Dr. Wareham, you know, why not? Clearly, he's still sharp enough to do surgery. That's just really incredible. Right. So what gives these Adventists their longevity? Let's dive in.
Yes, I think that's a really, really important question, especially for us in North America, right? We want to know how these fellow North Americans, how they have their longevity. And one of the most prominent features that Dan Buettner talks about, and something that has been researched extensively, actually, is the Adventist diet. The Adventist faith community has a large proportion of vegetarians and vegans. In fact, close to about 30% of Adventists in North America are vegetarians. 8% are vegans. And just for comparison, only 8% of Canadians are vegetarian.
Now, I know that plant-based eating is exploding here in North America, I think especially among millennials. But compared to the rest of North America, you know, the numbers you just mentioned are still very high.
Right.
So why is it that these Seventh-day Adventists have such a high a proportion of, you know, vegetarians or vegans?
Yeah, well, Dan Buettner, he points out that Seventh-day Adventists, they actually get this idea of going plant-based from the Bible, believe it or not. Mm. They point to the book of Genesis, which is the very first book in the Bible, and if in the chapter 1, verse 29, there's the section where God tells Adam and Eve that he's given them fruits, grains, and nuts as their diet. And then in chapter 3 in the book of Genesis, vegetables are added to the diet. So Seventh-day Adventists, they say, you know, the original diet given to man is a plant-based diet, right? And so this is why they practice, why a large number of them practice a plant-based diet, and this happens to give them their longevity.
So the idea here is that you want to eat as God kind of originally intended us to eat. Is that kind of the idea?
Right, exactly. Since they believe in the Bible and they believe that God created man, well, if God created man, then God probably knows what is best for man. And if it's the plant-based diet, then why not follow it? That's kind of how the reasoning goes.
Interesting. So, and we know that the science also overwhelmingly shows that the plant-based eating confers many health benefits. So can you break that down for us?
For sure. The science is definitely quite compelling. Researchers have studied Seventh-day Adventists for several decades now. They've done the Seventh-day Adventist mortality studies, the Seventh-day Adventist health studies number one, and Adventist health studies number two. And in fact, they've studied almost over 100,000 Seventh-day Adventists. And the research bears out that eating a vegetarian or vegan diet confers many health benefits. For example, compared to non-vegetarians, semi-vegetarians, pesco-vegetarians, and even lacto-ovo-vegetarians, the fully plant-based Adventists, the vegans, have the lowest BMIs, the lowest risk for hypertension and diabetes. They have 8% decreased risk for all-cause cancers compared to non-vegetarians, a 50% lower risk of colon cancer. When you compare vegetarians with non-vegetarians, then they have lower risk of prostate cancer and things like that, many chronic diseases. And not only have researchers found that they have lower rates of various chronic diseases, but they have a lower risk of death from many chronic diseases. For instance, compared to non-vegetarians, vegans had a 55% lower risk of death from ischemic heart disease, 42% lower risk of death from cardiovascular disease, and 19% lower risk of death from cancer. And just for comparison, the pesco vegetarians, so these are vegetarians or people who are mainly plant-based, but they still eat chicken and fish, they actually had a 10% increased risk of death from cancer. So the Adventists are proving what much of science is demonstrating, that a plant-based diet is very healthy and represents as close to an optimal diet as we can possibly attain here on planet Earth. And the Adventist health studies show that eating fully plant-based lowers the risk of getting chronic diseases and death from chronic diseases.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And from my understanding is that these are comparing Adventist omnivores, semi-vegetarians, pesco-vegetarians, lacto-ovo, and fully vegans, right? These are all Adventists that are being compared.
Right, they're comparing Adventists amongst each other.
Right, and the thing that makes this study so strong is that Adventists also don't tend to not drink alcohol and tobacco because these are discouraged in the faith.
Right, that's right, yes. In order to get membership in the faith, generally you have to kind of abstain from these things. So these things are removed as confounders, right, generally.
So of course, these studies are still not perfect. You know, they're observational, but you minimize the potential effects of these confounders.
Right, yeah. Okay. And they've studied 100,000 people, so that's a big study, that's right. You know, when it comes to meat eating, they found several factors that may help explain the link between meat eating and chronic diseases. And briefly discuss a few. So scientists have discovered that when we grill, bake, or fry meat, that this cooking process may actually promote the formation of what we call mutagens. These are compounds like heterocyclic amines and polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. I'm pretty sure some of our listeners have heard of these compounds. And what these compounds do is that they promote mutations in our genes, which then can lead to things like cancer. Right, and also they found that processed meats contain compounds like nitrates, which are also mutagenic. That means that they cause mutations. And they've also, meat has a high number or high levels of heme iron, and as compared to non-heme iron, which is found in plant sources, meat has high amounts of heme iron, and heme iron is a pro-oxidant, which means that it promotes oxidation, which can then lead to formation of free radicals and then inflammation. And this is not good to have inflammation going on in the body like that. Another interesting area of study they found right now, or they're studying right now, is a link between something called TMAOs and atherosclerosis. So TMAO stands for trimethylamine oxide. And what they're finding is that when animal foods are ingested, components of animal foods like lecithin and choline and L-carnitine, these are metabolized by the gut microbes, so the bacteria in our gut. And then once they're absorbed in the intestines, these are transformed into trimethylamine oxides. Well, the problem with these TMAOs is that they actually accelerate the formation of atherosclerosis, or clogging of the arteries, which then leads to heart disease and so forth. On the other hand, vegans and vegetarians tend to eat more fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, and legumes, which are packed full of antioxidants, fiber, and nutrients that decrease inflammation and promote overall health. So meat eating promotes inflammation, has mutagenic effects on our genes and so forth, and this is why these things are linked with a lot of chronic diseases. On the other hand, plant-based people are eating more plant foods, which are generally healthier for you. So this might explain some of the link between why vegan diets are so healthy.
So what if someone says, I'll just cut down on animal foods? Are there health benefits to that?
I think the answer obviously is yes. When you cut back on animal foods, then obviously that's always a good thing, I think. When you look at these Adventist health studies, the pesco vegetarians seem to have lower risks compared to Adventists with no restrictions, so the omnivores. But the lacto-ovo vegetarians, and particularly the vegans, generally have lower risks of getting and dying from many of the chronic diseases plaguing our society. So cutting down on meat is always good, but if we want to give ourselves the best chance at living longer and healthier lives, I would strongly suggest, I think the science suggests, that going fully plant-based accomplishes that. And you know, it's not worth gambling on our health. So, and in fact, when they compare plant-based Adventists to non-vegetarian Adventists, the vegetarian Adventists actually live longer lives on average.
So what if someone says, I'll still continue to eat meat, but you know, I'll just eat more fruits and vegetables. Maybe that will compensate for the negative effects of meat.
Right. Well, my response is, why not just get rid of the source? Right. So it's kind of like a fire. If a fire is going and there's something that's causing the fire, well, you can try to pour more water on it, but then why not get rid of something that's causing the fire? Right. So we know that if we liken fire to inflammation, well, we know that meat promotes inflammation in the body, and inflammation, low-grade chronic inflammation, is linked with many of our chronic diseases. So yes, you can try to eat more fruits and vegetables. That's always good. I mean, there's no one that's going to discourage that. But it's also going to be helpful to get rid of some of the sources of this inflammation that's happening in the body, and meat is a source of that. So I think it's, yes, eating more fruits and vegetables is helpful, but then also it's going to be also helpful to cut down on the meat and eliminate it altogether. And you know, there's studies that scientists have done comparing the vegetable intake of different types of vegetarians, so like semi-vegetarians, pesco vegetarians, lacto-ovo vegetarians, and vegans. And what they found was that the more plant-based you are, the more fruits and vegetables you actually ingest or take in. So for example, in a study by Dr. Orlick and colleagues from Loma Linda University, they found that semi-vegetarians only consume 3% more leafy greens compared to non-vegetarians. Lacto-ovo vegetarians consumed only 6% more leafy greens. Pesco vegetarians consumed about 28% more leafy greens compared to non-vegetarians. But the vegans consumed 39% more leafy greens. When it comes to cruciferous vegetables, vegans consume 51% more cruciferous vegetables versus non-vegetarians. The next closest group were the pesco vegetarians, who consumed 24% more cruciferous vegetables, and the findings were very similar for fruit intake. So the bottom line is this, Dan, is that when people go plant-based, you eat more plant-based foods. It's pretty simple, right? And you can try to eat more fruits and vegetables while still eating meat, but the science tells you that, or science tells us that when people go fully plant-based, that they start to eat more plant-based foods. And these large studies tend to bear that out.
And that makes a lot of sense. You can only eat so much food in a meal and in a day. And
right.
If you are not eating animal foods, you're bound to eat more, you know, veggies, fruits, nuts and grains, etc.
That's right.
So we have the plant-based eating. And on top of that, Dan Buettner identified two other key features of the Adventist lifestyle that could be linked to their longevity. So there's strong connections, the social connections, and something called the Sabbath. So can you explain these to us?
Yes, for sure. Unlike most Christians who attend religious services on Sunday, Adventists actually attend religious services on Saturdays. And it's more than just a day to attend religious services. Sabbath for Adventists is a 24-hour sanctuary and time where they rest from all work and other secular activities to spend time with God, with nature, family, and friends. In fact, when Buettner visited Loma Linda, he noticed that many of them actually went on things like nature walks on Saturday afternoons.
That's where the Seventh-day part of their name comes from, right?
That's right.
So it's sort of a regular weekly time off where you can de-stress, focus on what we really value in life and tap into our spiritual side, which is, you know, bound to have beneficial effects on our health, I think. And they even, you know, throw in some light physical activity in there with the nature walks that you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, stress is a huge issue. Feeling lonely and disconnected is another major issue. But if you have a sanctuary and time where you're connecting with family, connecting with a large social group, spending time in nature, laying aside your daily worries, obviously that's going to bound to have not only an emotional, mental effect, but then also rebound effect on our physical health as well.
And you mentioned that they take this time, the Sabbath, often to spend with family and friends.
That's right. What Buettner found was that Seventh-day Adventists have relatively strong social connections. Every week, they go to church and meet fellow church members on a regular basis, which helps foster relationships and the many benefits that come with that. And this is something that he noticed with several of the Blue Zones communities. Social connections were strong and many had strong religious communities as well.
Great. So let's end with some practical tips. So how can we start incorporating some of the lifestyle principles of Seventh-day Adventists?
For sure. First thing is to try to go plant-based. I think that's one of the big lessons from the Seventh-day Adventist health studies and just the observations that Dan Buettner made. Take a week or so to try out incorporating more plant-based options, with the goal of going fully plant-based. Second is to carve out a sanctuary and time to take away from cares of life and to de-stress. You know, time off to do wholesome activities and to rest. And, you know, we're not talking about like binge watching Netflix, partying, things like that, but rather, you know, spending time in nature like the Seventh-day Adventists do, spending meaningful time with family and friends. And the third thing is to join a community that'll give you the opportunity to foster long-term relationships. And you know, Daniel, I want to just re-emphasize what you had pointed out earlier at the beginning of the podcast, is that these are North Americans. So these are our fellow North Americans. Mm. They live in modern society just like we do. They're not hermits, right? They drive by the same fast food restaurants. They live in a very similar environments just like we do, but they are healthy. They're living long, very vibrant lives. And they do this by following certain lifestyle patterns. And so I think what the Seventh-day Adventists demonstrate to us is that living a Blue Zone life is possible here in North America. And I think that's extremely powerful. And plant-based eating, social connections, having a sanctuary in time, I think these are things that we can implement in our lives and give ourselves a chance at longevity just like these Seventh-day Adventists do.
And one thing I want to mention also is that many of these lifestyle patterns that we've observed in Blue Zones are actually the foundational principles of lifestyle medicine.
That's right.
So plant-based eating, stress management, social connections. These are focus areas of lifestyle medicine. So these people are living lifestyle medicine lives, if
that's right,
we can put it that way.
That's right.
All right. So thank you so much for taking us through that. And this brings us to the end of this episode. Please share with us your comments and suggestions on what you'd like to hear in future episodes. And you can catch our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Stitcher, YouTube, and even on our website at www.pathwaystoholiness.ca/podcast. So you've been listening to the Lifestyles Medicine Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you'll join us next time.